Welcome back.
Great to be here.
In this lesson, we're exploring Lesson 1.2, Digital Transformation and Emerging Technologies. If you've watched the overview, this will build on that. If not, you'll still be able to follow along. Now let's go further by exploring practical examples, future workplace relevance, responsible use, and how you can build confidence with this skill.
Right, because we really want to move past all the buzzwords today.
Oh, exactly. We want to demystify how this actually impacts your daily work and, well, spark a little curiosity instead of just anxiety about the future.
Yeah, the anxiety is real, but we can fix that.
So before we really dive into the definitions, I mean, just consider this for a second. Blockbuster didn't die because they refused to launch a website.
Right.
They had a website. They died because they treated the internet as just like this shiny, isolated tool to bolt onto their existing business. They didn't fundamentally change their corporate DNA.
Yeah, they saw an emerging technology, but they completely failed a digital transformation.
Yeah.
Exactly. And today, we're making sure you don't make that same mistake in your own career.
And, you know, that failure to distinguish between a new tool and a new way of operating, it's incredibly common. It is just vital to separate the two concepts right out of the gate.
So how do you break it down?
Well, emerging technologies, those are the actual mechanisms like large language models, the predictive algorithms, blockchain ledgers. They are discrete innovations just arriving on the scene.
Okay, so those are the tools.
Right. But digital transformation is the structural overhaul. It's the process of an organization taking those tools and completely rewiring how it delivers value, communicates, and solves problems.
I think I'm still sort of struggling with the line between just a routine upgrade and a true transformation. I mean, if my hospital switches from legacy paper patient charts to shiny new digital tablets, that feels like a necessary upgrade.
Sure, yeah.
But at what point does that hardware swap become a true digital transformation? Or is it fundamentally changing its DNA, how it actually solves problems?
Well, a tablet acting as just a digital piece of paper, that is just a hardware upgrade. The transformation actually occurs when that tablet is connected to a centralized cloud-based database running predictive analytics.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Right. Yeah. Suddenly, the system isn't just storing a patient's temperature. It's actively analyzing subtle drops in blood pressure over, say, 48 hours, and then cross-referencing that with millions of other patient records.
Wow, so it's doing the heavy lifting.
Exactly. And it alerts a nurse to a potential sepsis infection hours before the human eye could even catch the symptoms. So the hospital hasn't just sped up its filing system. It has fundamentally altered its clinical triage process.
So instead of thinking about this like adding a new limb, just buying a new laptop, it's more like an organism evolving an entirely new nervous system.
Oh, that's a great way to put it.
Yeah, it's rewiring how the brain communicates with the body to react to stimuli faster and more intelligently.
The nervous system metaphor captures the reality of the shift perfectly, actually. Because when a central nervous system is upgraded, every single extremity operates differently.
Right.
And we are seeing this across every sector: education, healthcare, finance. Like in logistics, transformation isn't just faster forklifts. It's predictive supply chains that automatically reroute shipping containers across the globe based on real-time weather satellite data.
Just bypassing bottlenecks completely.
Exactly, preventing them before they even occur. Or in finance, it's not just a digital ledger. It's decentralized smart contracts that execute themselves the moment specific verified conditions are met. It completely eliminates the need for a human escrow agent.
Okay, let me push back here for a second.
Sure, go for it.
Because I can hear a listener thinking, well, if I am studying to be a nurse, my primary job is bedside patient care. If I spend 2 hours a week trying to map out global tech trends and research emerging algorithms, I'm taking time away from actual clinical practice.
Right.
So if I'm studying to be a nurse or supply chain manager, not a software engineer, why do I need this innovation readiness? Shouldn't I just focus on my specific trade?
Honestly, the anxiety there is entirely justified. But that premise kind of misunderstands what innovation readiness actually requires.
How so?
Having technology awareness does not mean you are moonlighting as a software developer.
Yep.
It means you understand the invisible architecture that governs your daily workflow. Technology affects all industries.
Right.
Taking your nursing example, if an AI triage system begins prioritizing which patients you see first based on an algorithm, You need to understand what variables that algorithm weighs heavily and what variables it completely ignores.
Ah, I see.
Because if you don't understand the basic mechanism of that system, you cannot advocate for your patient when the algorithm makes a mistake.
Meaning, if you don't understand the tool manages you.
Ultimately, yes. Whether you are a supply chain manager, a financial analyst, or an entrepreneur, the technologies embedded in your industry will dictate the boundaries of your job. Building a baseline understanding of those shifts just prevents you from becoming a passive operator. It positions you to use that new nervous system to your advantage so you aren't caught off guard.
That brings us to how we actually build this continuous digital awareness without just drowning in information overload. The sheer volume of new software being released every week is staggering.
Oh, it's impossible to keep up with.
Right. So how does a professional filter the signal from the noise? I mean, I kind of like to compare navigating tech trends to surfing.
Oh, surfing. Okay, I like that.
Yeah, you don't need to control the ocean. You just need to know how to spot the wave and ride it.
There's a perfect analogy.
Yeah.
You don't need to control it all. The trick is to stop tracking individual software products and start tracking the underlying capabilities.
What do you mean by capabilities?
Instead of memorizing the names of 20 different AI marketing platforms, just focus on the fundamental capability, like natural language generation.
Mm.
Ask yourself how the ability to instantly generate localized, persuasive text changes the workflow of a marketing department. Once you grasp that core mechanism, you can quickly evaluate any new tool that enters your space because you already understand its foundation.
And it seems like a big part of that filtering process is looking for friction, right?
Yes, exactly.
If you understand where the bottlenecks are in your current industry, you can more easily spot the emerging technologies that are poised to actually solve those problems rather than just being, you know, novelties.
Finding friction is the absolute perfect heuristic. A technology only drives real transformation if it removes significant friction.
Right.
This is why paying attention to how other industries solve their friction points can be incredibly lucrative. Like, a breakthrough in data security developed for the banking sector might be the exact mechanism needed to solve a patient privacy bottleneck in telehealth. A digitally aware professional looks laterally across industries.
Okay, to see how this DNA shift works in practice, let's look at a concrete operational breakdown. In the lesson, there was this case study of a startup that successfully improved its customer engagement.
Oh, yes, that's a great example.
They were scaling fast, but their internal communication was just fractured, and their customer service team was paralyzed by repetitive inquiries.
Right. They were basically drowning.
Yeah.
And in a traditional setup, the solution to that friction would simply be to hire more customer service reps, maybe schedule more status meetings.
Which just scales the inefficiency.
Exactly. To actually transform, they integrated two distinct capabilities, cloud-based, collaborative architecture, and AI-supported customer service systems.
Okay, so let's unpack that first one. How do these two tools actually change the daily life of an employee at that startup? I mean, we throw the word cloud around constantly, but operationally, what does that mean?
Think about the traditional version control nightmare. A sales team creates a customer profile document, emails it to the marketing department, who updates it and emails it back as a new file.
Oh, the dreaded final V2 final document.
Yes. Meanwhile, customer support is working off an outdated PDF. These are data silos. Cloud collaboration dismantles those silos by creating a single source of truth.
Got it.
It breaks down physical office walls. The data doesn't live on individual hard drives. It lives in a central, dynamic environment. When marketing updates a customer preference, the sales team's dashboard reflects it instantly.
So the friction of reconciling conflicting information just vanishes.
Exactly, allowing the entire organization to move with unified agility.
Then you inject the AI into that streamlined environment. But we aren't just talking about a basic chatbot that spits out the company's business hours, are we?
No. A basic FAQ bot is just a minor upgrade. The transformation comes with capabilities like AI-driven sentiment analysis. The AI actually acts as a sophisticated routing mechanism.
How does that work?
Well, it reads an incoming customer email, analyzes the syntax and vocabulary to determine that the customer is, say, highly agitated and at risk of canceling a major contract. And it immediately bypasses the standard queue.
Wait, really? It routes them directly to a senior retention specialist?
Yep. And it does so while simultaneously pulling up that single source of truth customer profile from the cloud.
Wow.
So the human retention specialist answers the phone, already knowing the customer's entire history, recent purchases, and the specific technical error they encountered. The AI handles the high-volume triaging,
which fundamentally changes the speed of the customer service floor.
Right. This illustrates how emerging tech creates new opportunities for human workers. They are freed from manual data entry to focus entirely on higher-level, creative problem-solving, empathy, and negotiation.
This all sounds incredibly efficient, but, you know, handing over organizational routing to an algorithm introduces massive operational vulnerabilities.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's not all sunshine and rainbows.
Right. Which brings up the practical application activity from the lesson, where learners have to research an emerging tech and explain its possible risks.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you, when we hand over processes to AI or rely heavily on the cloud, how do we make sure we are using these tools safely and ethically? What are the blind spots?
The most immediate risk is the assumption of algorithmic neutrality. Algorithms are not objective. I mean, they are just mathematical reflections of their training data.
So they inherit our flaws.
Exactly. If an AI model is trained on historical triage data to determine which customer complaints get escalated, and that data contains biases, for instance, if the company historically resolved complaints from premium tier clients faster than standard tier clients, the AI will encode that bias.
Oh, wow. So it will systematically route certain demographics poorly.
Yes. It scales a historical flaw into a permanent operational mandate. That's a massive ethical trap. True technology awareness means looking past the hype to understand these risks.
So if you don't audit the training data, you might be unintentionally optimizing a broken system.
Right. And beyond the algorithm itself, shifting all this operational data into the cloud creates immense data privacy concerns. You are trusting a third-party architecture with the lifeblood of your company.
Which is terrifying when you think about it.
It is. Data privacy and security architecture must be at the forefront. When a startup moves to a cloud environment, they must understand the difference between multi-tenant architecture, where your data sits on the same server as other companies, and private cloud solutions.
Ensuring you remain a responsible digital citizen.
Exactly. You have to understand end-to-end encryption. A data breach doesn't just result in a fine. It fundamentally fractures the trust between the organization and its users.
There is also this massive vulnerability in over-reliance.
Oh.
I mean, we are building systems where human workers might literally forget the underlying mechanics of the job.
Yeah.
If the cloud provider experiences an outage or the sentiment analysis tool goes offline, does the team still know how to manually triage?
The human-in-the-loop necessity is non-negotiable. Digital transformation should elevate human capability. It shouldn't atrophy it.
Right.
The moment an organization relies so heavily on automation that its workforce loses the ability to perform the core function manually, it has crossed from transformation into fragility.
Wow. From transformation to fragility. That is a great way to frame it.
Yeah, maintaining robust, manual fallback protocols is just a hallmark of responsible technical management.
So understanding the risks, the algorithmic bias, the data vulnerabilities, the operational fragility is just as important as understanding the capabilities.
Absolutely.
To navigate all of this effectively, a professional needs a system for evaluating these technologies. And our lesson highlights a specific stack of digital tools to help structure this thinking. We've got Notion, Miro, and Canva.
Yeah, utilizing those three tools together provides a really comprehensive framework for processing the sheer volume of technological change.
I like to frame these tools not as isolated apps, but as a digital workshop.
A digital workshop, I like that.
Yeah, you have Notion for organizing research, Miro for visually mapping out how a technology affects an industry, and Canva for communicating those innovative ideas to others.
They facilitate the distinct cognitive steps required to turn raw information into actionable strategy. Organization, visualization, and communication.
So let's break down how a listener could actually use this stack tomorrow. Let's say a supply chain manager reads an article about a new blockchain-based inventory tracking protocol.
Okay, good example.
First, they open Notion. They don't just paste the article link. They use Notion to organize their research. They tag the technology, summarize the core mechanism, and link it to current friction points in their warehouse.
Right. Notion acts as their structured, searchable workbench. Once the core concepts are organized, the cognitive task shifts to understanding the impact.
Which is where Miro comes in.
Exactly. Miro is essential here. It provides an infinite digital whiteboard where you can visually map the workflow. You draw the current supply chain process and then visually insert the new blockchain protocol.
Oh, so you can actually see the breakpoints.
Drawing the connections forces you to see exactly which legacy systems will break, where the data needs to connect, and how the daily responsibilities of the staff will shift. It moves the tech from an abstract concept to a concrete operational map.
Then the final hurdle is getting stakeholder buy-in. You could have the most brilliant operational map in Miro, but if you show a sprawling whiteboard to your executive team, their eyes will just glaze over.
Oh, 100%. That's where Canva comes in. It serves as the presentation stage.
Right.
You take the complex workflow, distill the return on investment and the risk mitigation strategies, and use Canva to design clean, persuasive visuals that non-technical stakeholders can instantly understand.
It's a great workflow. Mm-hmm. So outline a habit for our listener. What should they do on a daily or weekly basis?
I'd suggest picking one emerging technology a week. Research how it works, identify the industries it affects, and weigh the opportunities against the challenges, just as the lesson's activity suggests. Run it through that Notion Miro Canva pipeline. It trains your brain to systematically evaluate the future rather than just passively reading headlines.
I love that. Let's pull all of this together and zoom out to the broader trajectory of your career. We've deconstructed the difference between tools and transformation. We've seen how predictive algorithms and cloud architecture fundamentally rewrite the DNA of logistics, healthcare, and customer service.
We really covered a lot of ground.
We did. And we've explored the hidden dangers of automated bias and the absolute necessity of maintaining human-in-the-loop oversight. So, reflecting on the ultimate takeaway here, how can understanding emerging technologies improve my future career opportunities?
Well, the thread connecting all of these elements is the necessity of adaptability. Innovation depends on continuous learning.
Right, because the tools change.
Exactly. The specific software interfaces you learn today will inevitably be obsolete in a decade. The programming languages will evolve, the hardware will change. Building your professional identity around mastery of a single static tool is a tremendous risk.
It brings us back to the organism evolving its nervous system. You don't want to be the legacy limb that can't receive the new signals.
You really don't.
Understanding emerging technologies, deeply knowing the why and the how behind the mechanisms, insulates you from obsolescence.
It's about building a lifelong confidence in navigating digital transformation. It creates a permanent cognitive flexibility. When you cultivate the habit of identifying friction, analyzing how new capabilities solve that friction, and rigorously auditing the associated risks, you become indispensable.
Highly employable and future ready.
Yes. You transform into the critical thinker who can walk into any future workplace, regardless of the industry, and confidently guide the integration of whatever new technology has just arrived. That is true future readiness.
It completely reframes the technological landscape from a source of anxiety into a massive landscape of opportunity.
It really does.
Well, as we wrap up this deep dive, we strongly encourage you to stay curious, be responsible, and stay future ready.
And to solidify the concepts we've explored today, please take the time to review your end-of-module study guide and actively complete the workbook activities. Translating these theoretical frameworks into practical exercises is the only way they become permanent skills.
We also want to explicitly acknowledge the further reading materials that inspired the strategic thinking in this lesson's concepts. If you want to explore the mechanics of corporate adaptation, artificial intelligence, and iterative design further, we highly recommend reading AI Superpowers, The Innovator's Dilemma, and The Lean Startup.
Those titles provide exceptional historical context and strategic frameworks for anyone looking to deepen their understanding of how innovation actually takes root in complex environments.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. It is a privilege to help you unpack these vital concepts.
Thank you. The future belongs to those who understand it.
As you close this out and transition to the rest of your day, I will leave you with this final thought. The next time a radically new piece of technology enters your industry and your peers are either ignoring it or panicking over it, ask yourself, are you going to let the organization's nervous system evolve without you, or are you going to be the one who directs the rewiring?